This is the Bates Bobcast, our weekly podcast about the week that was in Bates Athletics. My name is Aaron Morris, and this week we're celebrating the return of Bates rowing to the national stage. The women's team is once again going to compete at the NCAA Championships after a one-year hiatus, and the men's team earned an automatic bid to the IRA National Championship Regatta. Plus, a women's track and field 10K for the record books, and we introduce you to one of the stars of Bates men's rugby. That's coming up on the Bates Bobcast. It was an exciting but also nerve-wracking day Tuesday at the Tarquinia Boathouse as the women's rowing team found themselves on the bubble for a bid to the NCAA Championships after they took fourth at Sunday's National Invitational Rowing Championship. Fortunately, the good news popped up on the screen at the watch party. Bates is back. It's the program's 17th trip to the NCAA Championships in the last 18 years, but for many of these current rowers, this year will be their first time at NCAAs. We caught up with senior captain Hannah Burdick after the selection show to get her thoughts.
Hannah, you just found out you're headed to the NCAA Championships. You were firmly on the bubble. You got in. What were your thoughts coming into this, and what was your reaction when you finally saw your name pop up there on the screen?
I had honestly been preparing both sets of my emotions because I've faced both getting into NCAAs and not getting into NCAAs, and both are very incredibly different experiences that are both equally emotional in opposite directions. So this is obviously my favorite direction for that emotion to go, but it was definitely all day kind of building up in excitement for sure.
And then, I mean, just, you know, what does this mean for you to see some of your, you know, first year and sophomore teammates get to go who have never been before?
Well, we only have a handful of people who've ever been before. So this is huge for the future of the team and for everybody stepping up right now. And I'm really excited that that's going to be our legacy, is starting off with a class of 45 people who have been on a team that went to NCAAs.
And for the first Varsity 8, I mean, your grand final at NIRCs was super close. I mean, really tight race. What are your thoughts about getting to face these teams again? It's a rematch, right?
Oh, we're just revving. We so have got them. We have this new start that we pulled out that they didn't expect. We're going to clean up some other things. We're going to gain more than 1 second back. We're coming for first.
Excellent. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on, you know, today and the excitement of getting in and the reaction and everything we haven't got to talk about?
It was honestly just so incredible to have everybody at the boathouse for it. Last year we didn't get to all come to the boathouse, and it's great to be at your place that you call home when you get to hear that kind of news and looking out of the Androscoggin. And now we've another 3 weeks here, which is really exciting for me as a senior and for my friends back here as seniors, because we kind of thought this morning might be our last time out there.
Now it's not.
Now it's not.
All right, Hannah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There was no such suspense for the men's rowing team. The Bates first Varsity 8 earned a silver medal at the National Invitational Rowing Championship, earning an automatic bid to the IRA National Championship, where they'll compete in the D3 race for what would be their first national title. Senior Captain Ben Auerbach joins the Bobcast this week as he moved up to the 1V on Sunday, helping Bates earn the auto bid as our male Bobcat of the week.
Well, Ben, what a weekend for the men's rowing team. You were asked at the last minute to step up to the first Varsity 8. You've been in that boat before. Tell me a little bit about, you know, what, if any, adjustments you had to make, you know, with a new group of guys, basically, because you've been in the 2V most of the year.
Yeah, so moving up to that top boat, obviously I had to change the style I rowed in pretty significantly, and that was what we were focusing on the week immediately prior to NIRCs, but you know, we really didn't have that much time. We got really unlucky with the weather a few days and probably had around maybe 10, 12 hours of practice time in that boat before we raced, which was, nothing compared to the other boats that were there especially. So it was really, really encouraging to get that strong result with that little practice.
And the 4 seat, is that something you're familiar with, or where do you normally row in the boat?
Yeah, I'm a little bit of a journeyman. Yeah. I mean, I kind of go where they need me to go. But I have rowed 4C to the 1V before, so that seat is very familiar to me.
So take us through the races, because you had your heat where you got second to Tufts, and then you had the grand final where you got second to Trinity, but you beat Tufts. So it was close, though. I mean, really close races. Take us through both races, kind of from your perspective and how they went.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about this a lot as a squad after the race, but for the heat, it was we basically just did what we needed to do. We had a very competitive first half, and we were projected if we'd continued at that same pace, we would have been up there in the times with the faster, the other three heats that went much faster than ours. Mm. And then the second half, we kind of made a calculated decision to take our foot off the gas a little bit and save ourselves for the afternoon, which, you know, obviously is why we didn't go hard. And then the final, we felt like we had a lot more left in the tank. So we really just floored it and gave it all we got. And it thankfully came in our favor. But yeah, it was a great race.
Yeah, super close there, especially at the end. Were you leading Tufts most of the way? Did you have to? Was it pretty even the whole time?
Yeah, so the Bates race plan, this is a little bit of inside information, but it's always we start a little down and then we claw our ways back. And really, that's kind of what happened that second race of the day. We started, we were definitely in the mix, but we were not leading by any stretch of the imagination. And then we just over the race slowly came back until finally we had a really, really strong sprint at the end and managed to beat everyone except Trin. And I heard from them that they also got a little scared by us at the end, so that was good too. But
yeah, it's interesting because you get the automatic bid to IRAs. I mean, how exciting an opportunity is this for the program? Because you'll be in the D3 race and you'll get a chance, you know, to take home the title, right?
Yeah, yeah. That was incredible. I think that's happened maybe once while I've been here. And yeah, it does not happen very often. And to do that with this group of guys was a really special feeling. So very proud of all the boys for the work they put in this year.
So as one of the team captains, what has that experience been like?
Oh, it's been amazing. It's been just the greatest honor and the greatest privilege. It's been an incredible amount of work, and it's really changed my lifestyle here at Bates. But, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, and I think it's made my senior year a whole lot richer.
Great. And then I know you were in the first varsity eight, in the fourth seed, actually, at IRAs as a sophomore, got a bronze medal. Team got third overall that year. And then I know you were abroad. You had an injury. You've had to work your way back, kind of. You were in the 3V at one point, I think, last year. So how have you been able to bounce back or work your way back slowly but surely from the injury and everything?
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the Bates running ethos is really just consistency and, you know, doing what you can every day. And I think that's the only reason I am where I am. I'm not a especially talented athlete or especially gifted rower. I just think I'm one of the more consistent guys on the team, and that's really paid off for me in the past. And this year it unfortunately got me into the 1V. But yeah.
Right, unfortunately, because your friend got hurt. Yeah, so
exactly.
Injuries are definitely part of rowing, right?
Yeah, as much as they are any sport, you know, you got to be ready to fill in if something happens.
And then, I mean, you're from California. Take us back to how Bates first got on your radar for college. I know what you were a rower in high school, and you also played some baseball.
Yeah, yeah. I played baseball for most of my life, and then freshman year I switched over to rowing. Freshman year of high school, I should say. My aunt went to Bates. My family's all from New England, so this place was very much on my radar. And when Coach Mitch back then gave me a call, I was more than excited to talk to her and learn more about Bates. So, yeah, it was a great opportunity.
And what was it like? I mean, your family's from New England, but what was it like for you coming cross country for college?
Yeah, it was a big switch. Bates still, you know, obviously I hadn't had the experience of going to other schools and seeing what they were like, but to me Bates still felt very preppy and very New England private school, so that was a big change. You know, from the first day I was here, I felt like a different special energy that I didn't have in high school, and this team really, really supported me and was amazing. So more than happy with how it worked out.
Great. And then this year, IRAs are going to be end of the month. They're in they're at Camden, New Jersey. Have you ever been to – I know we've had a few guys at Camden before, but have you ever been there?
So the last time I raced at Camden, New Jersey, was my freshman year of high school. It was my first ever national competition, so I'm actually – pretty familiar with the course, and it's a really sweet, just like full circle moment to go back to kind of where it all started. It's a really good course. It's a fast course, so I'm excited to see how it goes.
What do you remember about that experience?
Hot. New Jersey in the summer is very hot, very humid. And the little quirk of Camden is that it has a very interesting wind, kind of wind effect, where there's some lanes that are more affected and are faster, and some lanes that are less affected and are less fast. So we'll see how the conditions are on the day.
Interesting, because I know they have They have a race for lanes, at least the 2V does. Does the 1V have a race for lanes also for IRAs?
I believe we'll have one or two heats and then a final. Normally it's just one heat and then a final, but I'm not entirely sure how it's going to work out this year.
So the lanes are very important, though, especially this course.
Yeah.
You would prefer to be in the middle, then you're not as exposed, or how does that go?
You'd kind of prefer to be in lane one, lane six generally. Oh. Has like a, yeah.
So lane one is better on the edge.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does that really impact a race, like in terms of your actual lane?
You know, it's really hard to say, and a lot of it's down to the conditions on the day. But, you know, whatever edge you can get, you try and get, I guess. But
certainly. Tell me a little bit about this group. I mean, this, you know, group of seniors perhaps, this group of, you know, you've been in both boats now. So tell us about what they're like this year.
Yeah, I mean, we are kind of the embodiment of our ethos for these past 4 years, which is no one's safe, and we try as hard as we can every race. This is just an incredibly special group of seniors. I've never been in a group this tight-knitted or this close or this supportive, and I'm really happy that I got to complete these 4 years with them, and I'm glad they all stuck around with me. And then as far as the men's top 16 guys are, just the same, just incredible, incredibly talented, incredibly hardworking. And what's even more encouraging is I know our potential is much higher than it is now. So I think both crews have a chance to be incredibly competitive when the time comes.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the result for the men's team, I mean, 5 minutes, 41.064 seconds, and Tufts and Williams are right behind you. You're a little bit behind Trinity, but not crazy behind. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on what it's going to take to maybe overtake the Bantams and also hold off Tufts and Williams?
Yeah, I don't think we're really worried about Tufts and Williams. I think we climbed that mountain, we overcame them, and now it's on to the, you know, big bad Bantams, I guess, the Trinity. But I don't think they're safe either. You know, we got, as I said, we had not a lot of practice time over these past 2 weeks, and I think we still have a lot of speed to get out of this boat, and I'm really excited, and I think they should be really nervous for IRA weekend.
Yeah, IRA weekend, again, coming up end of the month. I mean, the IRA experience, how's it compared to NIRCs and New England's and stuff like that?
Very much it's the same faces, but it's a much different feel. I mean, I remember the first time I went sophomore year, we were lined up right next to the Cal trailer, which at that time they were the fastest crew in the country. That was the year they won every event by a mile. And it's just it's a different experience getting to compete in the same place as that caliber of athletes. Not just the best in college rowing, but the best in the world in some cases. So it's a different energy, and it really shows you who has trained hard and who has sharpened their mental game.
Yeah, you mentioned you were in a four last year at IRAs.
And
the fours compete against, there's no D3, you're competing against the
Cows. Yeah, we raced against everyone.
Yeah.
So that was a very different experience as well. Well, I got to meet the University of Washington four that won the whole thing, and that was another crazy moment where I was shaking hands with some Slovenian national team rower who's like from a different planet than I was. But anyway, it was a great experience, and it was a lot harder, but very rewarding as well.
Great. What are your thoughts you wanted to share on NIRCs we haven't got to talk about yet?
Not particularly. I think it was just, it was a really tough situation going into it, and it shows the quality of crew we are and the level of teammates we are, that all of us, not just in the 1V, but the 2V, the 3V, because everyone was affected by this.
Mm-hmm.
It shows the quality of teammates we are, that we trusted each other, and we still put the work in, and we still did as much as we could.
Great. Ben Auerbach, our male Bobcat of the week, stepping up to the first varsity eight, and the Bobcats getting a silver medal at NIRCs, earning the automatic bid to the IRA National Championship Regatta coming up again end of the month, basically, May 30th and 31st down in Camden, New Jersey. Thank you so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
The track and field teams competed at the Farley Interregional Extravaganza over the weekend, and Isabel Demerit continued her outstanding senior season, setting a personal record of 36 minutes, 11.85 seconds in the 10,000 meters. Good for second on the Bates all-time performance list and 33rd in the country, making Isabel Demerit our female Bobcat of the week. Well, Isabel, this was your first 10K for Bates since your first year here. What was it like preparing for this race? Because, I mean, it's a beast of a race, isn't it?
Yeah, so I was lucky to have a teammate, Phoebe Pohl, pace me through almost 2 miles of that And that was right after she ran her 5K, which was super amazing. I was able to just shut my brain off for that first bit and just go from there. But leading up to it, I kind of just tried to just stay calm, kind of tell myself whatever happens, happens. And I'm just going to go out there and go for it, try to get that national qualifier. It was a little slower than I hoped, but still a good race.
Well, number two all-time at Bates, that must be pretty special, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize that I had got that until, you know, I crossed the finish line, and then a bunch of teammates came up to me and they were like, oh my gosh, you know, number two all-time. And I was like, oh, wow.
How many laps is that, by the way?
25.
25 laps. Okay. Yeah. Do you keep a count in your head or do you try to ignore that?
I tried not to think about it until at least halfway through. And then that's when I think the real race really begins, I would say.
And then you were kind of, I know it's like 1500, 5K, 10K. Is that on purpose, ramping up sort of?
No, I think it just happened that way. We were thinking, I had a few 1500s scattered in throughout my races because I didn't want to do the longer stuff back to back to back. But then this weekend we were debating, Coach Feldman and I, if we wanted to do 5K, 10K. And then I think we just decided 10K, go for it. Haven't done it in a while. See what I can do.
And how do you train in the week leading up to it?
So the week leading up to it, I think I have a little different training than I would say most of my teammates. I try to keep my mileage like super low. Mm. After a few stress injuries, I've just found lower mileage and then just a lot of time on the bike and elliptical is what works for me.
So PRs in the 1500, PR in the 5K, and then also the 10K as a senior. I mean, track is not necessarily linear, right? You don't necessarily end on a high note, but it seems like you kind of have here. What's that meant to you to finish so strong like this?
It feels great that everything is finally clicking and coming into place. And I feel like it's definitely just finding the training that works for me. And I think I've found that spot. That's the perfect mix of running and cross training that works for me.
We talked off air how you're not going to compete this Thursday, but you're still going to be training because you're 33rd in the country. I think, 22 make it for
yes,
the 10K?
Yes.
And the 10K is a hard race. There's a possibility people might drop out. I mean, what are your thoughts on that kind of?
Yeah, I'm definitely keeping my hopes low just to be realistic. But best case scenario, a lot of people scratch and I make it to nationals.
And even if you don't, though, it feels like you've definitely ended your career the way you kind of want to, right?
Yes, definitely, for sure.
So a little bit about your background. You're from Massachusetts. Obviously, you're a senior now. Tell me about how Bates first got on your radar, and you and your sister both came here, right?
Yes. Yeah, so originally, actually, I was looking at similar schools to play lacrosse. I wasn't even thinking of running. And then I kind of made a last-minute decision, like end of junior year-ish, that I wanted to run. I just love runners. I love being around those people. And that's what I want to do for the next 4 years. I've always been looking at smaller schools like the NESCACs, some other schools in Pennsylvania. But Bates was the one after visiting, even though it was during COVID. But I met Coach Art here and we had a little discussion. And it was definitely from there. I was like, this is where I want to go.
Oh, with your twin sister?
Yes.
Yeah. Sophie, was it a joint decision? Kind of like, oh, we should both go to Bates? You kind of come to it independently almost.
I would say it was more independent, even though we were looking at the same schools. We had the same like thoughts. We loved the smaller school. New England was the goal. And we both were like, if we end up at the same school, that's great. If we don't, we don't. But turned out we ended up at the same school. And it's been really great running with her and sharing the track with her.
Did you grow up kind of like basically playing the same sports and everything, or?
Mostly, yes. I think she moved over to the running side a little before me. Mm. I was still on the lacrosse field, and she had transitioned over to the track. But I did indoor all 4 years, and then I think she was like, ooh, I want to do – she did indoor, I think she started her sophomore year, but then she did outdoor track before I did, and then, yeah.
So indoor track, I feel like some people come to Bates having never done indoor track before, right? But you had experience with it?
Yeah. Indoor track was the one I had all 4 years. Okay. And I think, yeah, that was the one I had the most experience with. So outdoor and cross country were still a little new to me when I got here.
Oh, interesting. So, yeah, you come in and immediately the first season is cross country. What was that adjustment like?
It was a little difficult, I think. I did end up doing one cross-country season in high school, but since with COVID, it was kind of like an abridged season. You would have like two runners start at a time, so it wasn't really cross-country, I would say. But it was definitely tough. It was nice, obviously, having such a great group of seniors that year who really just showed us how it's done.
Having been in season, looks like, all 3 years in high school too, right? Field hockey, it looks like, indoor track, lacrosse. Mm-hmm. Being in season all 3 years here, easy transition?
Yeah, I would say so. Just, I think, finding the fact that I should be running lower mileage just because I had only run one season in high school was what I needed to do, even though it took a few years to figure out, but finally got there.
So going back to this weekend's 10K, I mean, you mentioned having Phoebe as your pacer to start the race. For non-running experts, how does that help you?
Yeah, so basically, Phoebe was doing what I would say, or most runners would say, is the hard part, and making sure she's running the correct pace every lap. And she's kind of, she's doing the hard part, and I'm basically just right behind her. Just all I had to tell myself was just stick on to Phoebe. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to do anything. Phoebe will know when to make a move, when to pass someone, if someone's starting to slow down. And all I do is just stay right next to Phoebe. So, yeah, it was super great having her there.
And it's interesting because she's a senior, so that was like her last. Is she competing this Thursday? Do you know?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
So that was kind of her last race as a pacer. So
yeah, that was super special to get to have her because it's been awesome competing with her this year.
I saw she was looked like a photo Allison Leonard took, but she was like Phoebe was one of the first people to congratulate her, sort of.
Yes. It was 10K was the last event of the day, and I had that 5K group and then the men from the 5K and then one steepler, and they just every lap out of 25 they were there on the fence cheering for me, which was super special because they definitely helped pull me through that race.
I was going to say, like, some runners would say I would never run a 10K. I mean, but you obviously wanted to. Do you enjoy the event?
I like mixed feelings. Yeah. I would definitely say it was the hardest race I've ever run, harder than cross country. But I think there's something special about it because it takes so much more mental strength than I think the, like, 1500 and even the 5K because you're just 30-something minutes on that track, lap after lap, trying not to slow down.
Yeah, I feel like the 1,500 for a distance runner is almost like a sprint.
Yeah, I would say so, for sure.
Is 5K maybe your favorite distance? Or?
Yeah, I think 5K is that great mix in between a little speed, and then you still have the distance, too.
Great. Well, any other thoughts you wanted to share about, you know, your time at Major, a senior, or anything else you wanted to mention we haven't got to talk about yet?
Yeah, I've loved my time with this team. I love the people on the team. The people are the ones, they really make it. And they're the reason you want to come to practice every day, compete every day, because you have all your supporters around you and everyone's doing, you know, it's really hard what we do. And it's nice having such a big group and those people, because we all know everyone's doing the same thing. And if your teammates are doing it, you can do it too.
Great. Isabel Demerit, 36 minutes, 11.85 seconds. That's the second fastest 10K in Bates women's track and field history. We are rooting for some scratches this week. Hopefully we can get you to nationals. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bobcast. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The Bates Men's Rugby Club made history on Sunday, winning the Maine Cup Sevens tournament for the first time in recorded history. Hosted at Bowdoin College, the tournament is a long-standing spring tradition featuring all six collegiate rugby programs in the state. Senior Spencer Obiero earned tournament MVP honors, and he joins the Bobcast this week to introduce us to the men's club rugby team and tell us about his background, having grown up playing the sport in Kenya.
We usually have the Maine Cup tournament every year. It's a sevens tournament that happens during the springtime, and typically it's just the schools that are in Maine that participate. And I've participated in two Maine Cup tournaments. Last year, we lost at the Maine Cup final, but this year we made it and won. But typically, it's usually a pool stage where we have like a round robin kind of situation where we have teams play against every other team, and then rankings are made based on that. Mm-hmm. And then from the round robin, it's usually the semifinals where it's like the first seed meets the fourth seed, and then the third meets the second for the semis. And then the winners from the semifinals meet at the main cup final. This year's tournament, we played the round robin, we topped our pool and were ranked number one. So we met Bodin, who are ranked number four mm-hmm. at the semifinals, and then won and proceeded to the final where we met Colby, who beat UMO for the other semifinal.
Take us through the Colby match for the championship, got the victory. I know it was a close one, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Colby game was actually interesting. A few weeks ago, we had a scrimmage against them, and we didn't perform really well. Mm. So we didn't have high expectations. And when we arrived at Bodin, we arrived when Colby was playing UMO. And UMO are the defending champions of the Division II Sevens nationally. Mm. So the fact that Colby beat UMO really was sort of like something that none of us expected. And going into the Colby game at the pool stage, none of us, like we didn't have much of high expectations. We knew we had a good team, but I guess at least for myself, I didn't think we'd sort of like beat them. Mm. So it was a really tough game. First half in the pool stage ended with 12-10 for Colby. Mm. And then in the second half, they scored again. So the scores were like 19-10 for Bodin. Not for Bodin, for Colby.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think a few things happened, and then we got a penalty try, which meant we were awarded 7 points for that. And that sort of like took us to a 19-17 score.
Yeah.
And I think the boys felt that we could really do this. So I remember we had like probably less than 2 minutes left. And our coach Woody, who's been really helpful for us this seventh season, told us that the only thing we need is a try to win this match. And like 40 minutes before the game ended, we were lucky to have like the final try.
Mm.
And that gave us the lead. And the scores were 22-19. And I think I was too tired. And so there's this tactic that sometimes people use where if you've scored and you have a conversion, you can use that time to sort of like recover. So we had 40 seconds left and we had just scored. And I was the kicker, so I took my sweet time to get the kick. And so I think we missed the conversion, so the scores remained 22-19. But after the conversion, we were left with like 10 seconds and the game ended abruptly. So it ended up Bates being top with 22-19. It was a really close game, and I think that sort of like motivated the boys to keep moving forward. Initially, we sort of like were there maybe to be the second in our pool or something like that. But after beating Colby, the boys set their minds onto greatness, and that sort of like helped us in the next game and the games that followed after. Because I remember at the pool stage, it was a tight game against Colby, but at the finals, it was like a slightly easier.
Mm.
And we got like an easier win at the finals. Although there was sort of like a back and forth at some point where we had like, I remember we started off with the lead. The scores were 10 for a while. And then just before the first half ended, Colby scored and converted. So the scores were 10-7. At first half for Bates. When we got back into the second half, they caught us on surprise. So they scored and they took the lead. I think immediately on the second half, the scores was something like 14-10. But then after a while, we scored and then towards the end scored again. And that gave us the victory in the finals.
And you were named the tournament MVP. What does that mean to you to be named the MVP of the whole tournament?
Oh yeah, it really felt like I felt like I was really honored. I remember when I came to Bates, like my goal was to just play the sport for fun and hang out with the lads and whatnot. And it was really fun. So, like, I never took it as seriously as I did back in Kenya. I started playing rugby in Kenya. And in Kenya, it was really, like, competitive, yeah. Very physical. But when I got to Bates, it was more like something that you do for fun or do to create a community where you sort of, like, can hang out. So over the past few years, it was sort of like me playing my best, of course, but I never thought I'd get to a place where I'd be named MVP. And I'd say it's maybe, I wouldn't attribute it to how I played. I'd say it was mainly how we sort of like developed as a team throughout the entire tournament, because most of our, like the bulk of our team was freshmen and most of them had never played rugby before. So they needed some leadership. And me being one of the most experienced players, coupled with a couple seniors like Solomon Sekekini and Justin, we were able to sort of like talk to these freshmen and tell them what to expect, what to do. In the field, we'd sort of like have like some leadership voice. At some point, I was playing like a position called a sweeper, where I'm sort of like at the back of the defense line. And my job is technically to look what's happening in front and speak to people. So I think that sort of like gave me an opportunity to enact my leadership. And that's one of the things that I think made me named the MVP, sort of like just enacting leadership and making sure that the boys were cohesive and things like that.
Great. And then you touched on this, but you grew up in Kenya.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, obviously it sounds like rugby is very big there, but tell me about, like, you know, growing up in Kenya, what were the biggest sports? Was rugby like number one for you personally, or is number one sport for, I know there's a lot of great runners who come from Kenya also, but tell me about like maybe the culture of sports in Kenya.
Oh yeah. So in Kenya, it's very interesting because most people grow up playing soccer. For runners, it's usually like a specific region, the Rift Valley, where we have most like long distance runners training and coming from such area. But all over the country, it's usually like soccer is the number one sport.
Yeah.
But as a child, I wasn't really good at soccer. I kicked the ball where my stomach was facing. So people didn't like me. And I was also like a very tough defender. I would like bang the strikers, and it was very physical for me. So after a while, some friends of mine, we would go and start playing rugby soccer, where it would start like as a soccer game, but then after a while we'd
turn
take the ball and turn it into rugby.
Yeah.
So I think such things sort of like made me to yearn to play like actual rugby. And I remember I was introduced into the sport by my brother, who had his first official training at a place called Impala Club. And this was, I think, in 2009. So he went there, did his games and all that stuff. And the next week, he sort of like asked me to come with him. And I remember my first experience was tough. We had a coach and we were so bad. So what she did was sort of like make it, she sort of like introduced a prize into some drill that we're doing. The goal was that whoever wouldn't drop the ball while doing like basic passing would eventually win a certain prize.
Mm.
So that sort of like motivated me to like work really hard. Our squad didn't end up winning the prize, but I think my brother was among the three people who won the prize for like not dropping the ball.
Mm.
And I think such motivation kept me going back to Impala Club. And that sort of like enabled me to like just fall in love with the sport and stick to it. So I played for Impala Club. And then in high school, after, like in Kenya, we have like an education system where it's primary school, which is equivalent to middle school, and then high school, and then college. So when I finished my primary school, I wasn't able to go to high school because of like financial issues and such. So I reached out to my coach and he linked me up with the management at Impala Club. And that earned me a scholarship to join the Nairobi school. And originally it was sort of like thought that I was sort of like going to explicitly play rugby as a recruit at Nairobi school. But it turned out that the scholarship was sort of like lenient in such a way that I wasn't required to play.
Mm.
I was just there to like have my education and whatnot. But I kept playing regardless. And that sort of like kept me moving forward. And I think at some point I was just, it felt like I was stuck in rugby. In a good way, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what led you to Bates?
After high school, I was like in the Kenya under 19 preparation team. Mm. And at the same time, I was still playing for the Impala development side. So I graduated high school in 2018 and I kept playing until when COVID hit around 2020. And then club sports came to a halt.
Yeah.
And there was sort of like a lot of issues that came up and we couldn't play any more rugby. So I reached out to a couple of people. There's specifically an organization at Kenya called KENSAP, Kenyan Scholar Success Program. And I applied for that program, but I never got in. But there's a one of the people who was sort of like in the selection team reached out to me and we kept talking. He helped me get some SAT preparation books. So I studied SAT on my own. I did a lot of stuff in preparation to like the upcoming application cycle. So in, I think, 2020 towards the end, I applied to Bates as, actually it was in 2021, I think. I applied to Bates as early decision and I was lucky to get in. Mm. So originally I was thinking of like schools that had big rugby programs right. like Colby. But there's this friend of mine at Bates who graduated called Caroline Chepkemoi that I talked to. And I felt like the conversation between me and her was sort of like kind of striking. So I thought maybe Bates would be a good early decision application with sort of like my backup was to apply to Bodin or Colby for regular decision.
Right, right.
But I got a Bates. So that's how I sort of like found myself at Bates.
So had you been to America before when you enrolled here?
No,
no.
It was my first time. I'd only been to France for like a sevens tournament.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like a tour where we spent only a week just playing rugby.
Mm.
But I had never been to the U.S. before.
So you come to Bates as a first year. I mean, what's your initial impression of, you know, the area, the country in general, I guess?
Oh, yeah. So I arrived at a time where we had, like, there was sort of, like, where people were supposed to stay.
Oh, was it COVID restrictions still?
Yeah, the COVID restrictions
okay,
were there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think my, before actually coming to Bates, I would correspond with Joy Seltzer, who was working at the admissions office at the time. She was the East African representative.
Okay.
So she would reach out to ask about like a couple documents that I needed to submit and whatnot. And that way we sort of like started corresponding. And before coming to Bates, she told me that if I'm able to, like she can offer me a ride from the airport once I arrive to Bates. And the good thing is that I was also corresponding to Caroline and a couple other Kenyans who I had their number through WhatsApp. And that way I was able to like book a flight from Nairobi to Boston and then at the same time get a Concord bus from Boston to Urban Exit 75. And
yeah.
So that sort of like smoothed my transition. And I arrived at Urban Exit 75. Johi was there to help me and I spent a night with the family. And then the next morning, Mike Seltzer brought me to campus, and I met Mike Milliken.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Milliken was the rugby head coach at the time.
Yeah.
So we started chatting about like the potential of me playing as a fly half for the team and whatnot. And it was actually a good I felt like my arrival was met with like some good impression because like after meeting Mike on like my second day in the US, I had to like quarantine or isolate in my room for like 7 days because I wasn't vaccinated at the time.
Oh.
But after that, we had like the orientation week leader thing and like ASOP and whatnot. So I think my arrival at Bates was really fun.
Great. And can you tell me a little about, you know, this, you touched on this, but the experience of playing rugby at Bates. I know you battled some injuries your time here, but like, what's the experience been like? You mentioned a little bit more casual maybe than in Kenya, but sounds like it's been a lot of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think my first game was against Bodin.
Uh-huh.
And there's usually like a cup between Bodin and Bates. And for the past like 3 years, Bodin had won the cup and it was theirs. But in this first tournament, We won against Bodin and got the cup. So it really felt good. The games were not, I'd say, they're not as physical as they are in Kenya. Mm. It felt like there was sort of like cohesion both within the team and between teams. For instance, in Kenya, we'd like go play a game and then just do something within our team and call it. But after the first game, Bodin invited us for like a meal or a drink afterwards. The time didn't allow for it, so we never did anything. But I think the next game we played against Colby, and afterwards we were the parking lot outside of the Bodin pitch, Colby pitch, and we had like a social between the two teams. It was really fun. So there's competition, of course, in the field, but outside the field, there's still the brotherhood where you have like players share a meal or something like that. And I feel like comparing between rugby at Bates and rugby in Kenya, it's very cohesive, like at the collegiate level here in the US.
Great. And then you touched on this also, but as a senior and also as someone who has a lot of experience playing, probably more than anyone else, I think probably on the team. Is that fair? What's it been like working with, you know, novices, people who have never played before, you know?
Oh, yeah. I feel like it gives you like a very good perspective, sort of like, for instance, in Kenya, I was in a team where like Impala, the squad that I played for was like in the championship side. And everybody knew what they were supposed to do.
Right.
So sometimes I myself would feel like an imposter. Like, am I really supposed to be here? Because like the thing is, I graduated immediately from high school and joined the competitive side. And these were people who had been playing for like years.
Yeah.
So for me, it felt like I was not as strong as they were. Skill-wise, I was good because I'd been playing for like close to a decade. So I was good skill-wise. But in terms of size, I wasn't. So sometimes at Impala Club, it felt like, am I really supposed to be here? And sometimes I felt like weak. But coming to Bates, it sort of like changed the perspective. Here you're playing with people whose skills range across the entire spectrum. You have people who are skilled. You have people who are catching the rugby ball for the first time. So that sort of like gave me the ability to sort of like not just focus on how I play, but focus on how I can make my teammate better. So for instance, most of the people that we've played with this year, like the freshmen, these people are really talented, but they haven't played rugby for so long.
Yeah.
So being able to like see how you can create some space for them to explore their talent is something that I gained by playing with people of different levels. So I feel like Bates sort of like gave me the opportunity to sort of like interact with people of various abilities, and that helped me see how I can manage not just myself but the team as well as a player inside the pitch.
Outstanding. Well, I mean, any other thoughts you wanted to share about, you know, winning the Main Cup Sevens tournament? Because again, making some history, I must feel good, you know, as a senior to go out on top like that. But anything else you wanted to mention?
Sometimes people think rugby is very... There's this year, probably in 2023, where we had like a lot of like concussions.
Oh.
So there's this negative attitude that people developed against the sport where like, if for instance, I talk to somebody and I'm like, hey, why don't you join rugby? They'd be like, oh no, I'm not ready for a concussion. I'd say that's probably a misconception. The injuries are there in every sport, but one thing that I think is really important in any type of sport is being fit and being careful on the pitch as you also have fun. And that way, simple things like, I don't know, minor concussions may not occur. So I don't know how to put this, but I feel like the attitude against such injuries should probably be changed. Because rugby is a fun sport. One thing that I'd say has brought me close to people both off and on the field, and it's important that we have it as a culture and develop it from a like a ground level. Have people like join Bates and join the rugby team, explore other sports, and not just have this perspective of like rugby being a sport that will damage your mind. Mm.
So safer than it looks, basically.
Yeah, it's safer. That's the right phrase. Thank you.
Definitely. Well, yeah, I mean, definitely people should check out. I mean, anyone can join, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Anyone can join. Yeah. The women rugby in Maine is actually developing.
Yeah.
At the Maine Cup, we also had like women playing. Those kids from high school also playing. So I think this is something that should people should love it.
Yeah, and I know Mike Milken, he doesn't coach the team anymore, but he's the head of club sports here, so people can reach out to him. Or who is your coach now?
Currently, Woody has been volunteering as our coach. Mm-hmm. And he is really a nice guy who has guided us through both 15s and 7s. Mm. We haven't been performing really well, especially when we did our 15 season in the in the fall. We didn't really have like a good streak, for instance. But the fact that he stuck with us, he stayed with us and kept on coming even when we didn't have like enough numbers for people to practice is really important. And I'd say it's very important that we have him. And the freshmen as well. In my experience as a Bates rugby player, I'd say this has been the most passionate team that I've seen. The freshmen are very passionate and courageous. We have people like Peter Lee who do magic on the field. The juniors, most of them are actually abroad, but their leadership has been really important. The seniors, I can't overstate how useful they are. So, yeah, that's probably what I'm thankful for.
Excellent. Well, and 15s and 7s, I assume that's 15 on the field versus 7 on the field, is that?
Yes.
Okay. which do you enjoy more? I mean, I imagine it's a little bit different type of game, right?
Yeah, I enjoy 7s more because growing up, it's 7s that we were introduced to as rugby players. 15s is longer. The way I think of it is like a marathon versus a sprint or a short race. So 15s is longer, more people, less space. 7s is a short game, a lot of space, a lot of running, a lot of like skills. So I'm sort of like biased towards 7s because that's what I was introduced to, and I just like running a lot.
So what's next for you? Because you're a senior, and obviously this was the last rugby tournament for you. So, I mean, what's next? Do you think you're going to keep playing after graduation?
Oh, yeah. Currently, my plan is to go to UVM for graduate school.
Yep.
I got admitted into the physics program at University of Vermont. So the program starts in September. But the plan that I think I have is to sort of like join the college team that they have. If else, I've been trying to talk to people like Coach Garrett from Bowdoin, who sort of like has some good connection and knows people. So he sort of like pointed me towards a certain team. I've forgotten the name of the team. In Vermont, but hopefully if I have enough time, I might join the team. If not, I'll just be hanging out with the UVM rugby team. It's actually a good team. It participates in the D2, Division 2 competitions.
Okay.
So I might see if I can hang out with them sometimes. But the long-term plans is to finish my graduate degree and then see if I can make it to the Kenya National Sevens squad.
Awesome. That would be great to see. Well, Spencer, again, congratulations on all success this past weekend there in Brunswick, bringing home the Maine Cup to Bates for the first time in program history. And we look forward to seeing you continue your rugby career here. And hopefully, yeah, we'll see you on the Kenyan team before we know it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
The softball team wrapped up their season with a 4-2 loss in the NESCAC quarterfinals to Wesleyan. Bobcats finished the year with 16 wins, doubling their total from a year ago. The track and field teams sent select athletes to MIT this Thursday for the final qualifying meet for NCAAs. And of course, we are looking forward to NCAAs and IRAs at the end of the month for the rowing program. Stick with GoBatesBobcats.com for all the latest Bates athletics news, and we'll catch you next time on the Bates Bobcast.